The government is being urged to redouble its efforts to help victims of sexual violence. The Dáil earlier discussed recent figures from the Central Statistics Office highlighting how over half of women have experienced sexual violence in their lifetime. And Harry McGee, this report released last month, debated in the Dáil today, even more figures out tomorrow. So give us a snapshot of what's in it.
Yeah, well, I think the kernel of the report is a finding that shocked everybody, really. And it found that 42%, that's 4 in 10 of women who were surveyed, had experienced sexual violence at some stage during their lives. And that really, to me, was an astounding statistics. So 28% of men had been impacted by sexual violence as well. And that's also a very high number. It really surprised me. I would not have thought that the percentage for men would have been anywhere near that region. So I think, in a way, it is very comprehensive survey, which went into the area more comprehensively than anything before, has shown us that the extent of sexual violence in Irish society is much more extensive than was thought heretofore. And the further findings from that particular study will be made available tomorrow. And I think people will be able to dig more deeply into the different cohorts, the different age groups, the demographics, the type of assault that has occurred. And it will give to us a very strong evidential base for dealing with it legislatively and politically in the time going forward. So it's a very important report. I think it's a report that will inform the Oireachtas and our legislators, and it will allow us as a society to look at the prevalence of this and allow policymakers to try to turn the ship, as it were, and to lower the incidence level. And the figures are shocking. There's no two ways about it.
And just a reminder, given the nature of the discussion here, that if you've been affected by the issues raised, you can go to rte.ie/helplines. Alice Mary Higgins, what did you think?
Well, the figures, the top line figures are shocking, but what's also really, really interesting is when you look to what happens to those who have experienced sexual violence. So the fact that basically only about half of those who've experienced sexual violence in their lifetime told someone about it. That's not even reporting to the guards, going through the what has been established as a grueling and you know, unsupportive process in many ways in terms of for those who've sought to, you know, seek justice in relation to sexual violence, but have told anyone about it. And what was really interesting as well, I thought, was that the majority of adults, and again, it goes against maybe some of the stereotypes around sexual violence, is that the majority of adults, 78% of those who had experienced sexual violence, knew the perpetrator. So they knew the perpetrator. They know the persons. And that is the reality, that a lot of sexual violence is from people that people know. And when it came to partner violence, you know, that very low figure of only half speaking to anyone, that went down to just 16%. So that means that, you know, about 80% of those who've experienced violence from a partner don't talk to anyone about it.
Yeah. And Louise O'Reilly, we heard Harry McGee there and some of those figures outlined by Alice Mary Higgins. What would you do if empowered to politically and legislatively respond to some of the issues raised?
Well, I suppose the figures are shocking, but they're not really surprising, unfortunately. I'm a woman. I've plenty of friends. I this backs up what would be the experience of me and my peers, and it's not right. But every year on International Women's Day, we all troop into the Dáil and we all say the same thing. We say we'd have to have zero tolerance approach. There cannot be any more of this. And then when there is a high profile incident, be it an incident of domestic abuse or whatever, that will spark another debate. And yet, 9 counties don't have any refuge. Now, there are plans in some of those counties, and that's really welcome, but 9 counties don't have any refuge. So when we were debating this today in the Dáil, my colleague, Mark Ward, talked about the Saoirse Women's Refuge that operate in his area, and he had the figure of 240, over 240 families were turned away in the last year because they simply do not have the resources. So, you know, we need to see resourcing. Sinn Féin has pushed for resources, and we've also pushed for really practical measures such as paid leave for victims and survivors of domestic abuse. And I was really pleased to see that the government took that suggestion. It was legislation that we had introduced in the last Dáil. They took it, they introduced it, but but they cut the days in half. So we had proposed 10, which is in line with what happens in other sectors and in other places. And the private sector is already ahead of that. The third level sector is already at 10, and they cut it in half to 5. They also cut the pay from a full day's pay to 70%. So you'd have to wonder how, and there are no resource implications on that for the government, but you'd have to wonder, you know, how serious they are when they go so far to do something. And it was really, really, really welcome that we now have paid leave for victims and survivors of domestic abuse. But I have to ask the question, why is it only at half the rate that they get in the third level sector?
Barry Ward might have some insight.
I don't think anybody can question the seriousness of the government of this issue. This government has led on this issue. In fact, this whole CSO report came from a demand from the Department of Justice to correct the fact that the figures were lagging. They were based on reported crime through Angora the Síochána. We know the Rape Crisis Centre estimates that only 1 in 10 rapes is actually reported. So this is all comes from initiative from government to establish what the actual figures are. And now we have a much better handle on that, however shocking those figures are. But the third national strategy on domestic, sexual and gender-based violence is what is there. It was published last June. It's got a lot of programmes in. It's got a lot of investment, notwithstanding what Louisa said. And I have pushed particularly for a refuge in Dunleary because we were one of the counties that didn't have one. There are 24 refuge units underway in Wexford, Dundalk and Navan at the moment. They'll be delivered by the end of this year. And there'll be 98 refuges in priority locations around the country next year. So the progress is there. The plan is there. There is a whole load of wraparound services.
Those are the targets. Are you surpassing the target? Well, because that is what the minister had said last November, yes, that you would surpass them. And you heard Louise O'Reilly say there that 9 counties still don't have a refuge.
No, well, actually, I don't think that's correct. But whatever about that, they will by the end of this year. That's what we're being told, and that is on track. But the other thing to note is that this government, more than any in the history of the state, has progressed legislation in this area, outlawing particular offences that have been left off the statute books, and made huge progress. Helen McEntee has been a real leader in this space.
But in 2022, the Sonnes Refuge, for instance, had to refuse 470 people.
I'm not saying that it's all wonderful and that the work hasn't been done. What I'm saying is the work has been done. And more importantly, this government hasn't shied away from identifying where those gaps are and dealing with them. And that's what the third national strategy is about. And that's why
it's
delivered.
And to be clear, the government commissioned this report or pushed for it. I think Alice Mary...
I would have to slightly correct that because I worked for the National Women's Council for a number of years before I even entered politics. And we were calling for this report. Mm. I think we called for it for well over a decade before there was any movement on it. I'm very glad that the figures are there. But what we also have is we have blueprints. We have, you know, the Istanbul Convention. And that sets out very clear, hard figures for the amount of refuge spaces that you need to have per head of population. Ireland still isn't meeting that. And we do need to be meeting that. It's crucial. And it's also, there are, I think, some really positive pieces. And I do want to acknowledge, you know, coercive control being recognised in the last Oireachtas was something the Shannon pushed for collectively. It was really good to have that. And there is talk about reform of the court systems. But it was striking the fact how wrong the Gardaí figures are. Yeah. You know, that points to the fact that, and that points back to that core piece I was saying again, we need to look to the shelters, we need to look to the supports, but we also do need to look to the fact of that we clearly don't have a justice system that is serving victims of sexual violence. Yes.
Barry Ward, did you want to respond to Louise O'Reilly in relation to the issue she's raised about paid leave for the victims of domestic violence?
Well, this is the first government to make progress on that issue, and the reality is that we were the ones who implemented.
But what she proposed seemed 100%.
But Barry, this is exactly what Sinn Féin always does. They tell people they can have everything and they can have it now, but they don't count for the cost of it, how it's going to be paid for,
What is the cost, please?
I didn't say to the state, Louise. Okay, but what Sinn Féin refuses to acknowledge is that there is a cost involved with that. It's to employers, very often small employers. Yeah. Now, the state needs to step in to support them, no doubt about that. But Sinn Féin will tell people they can have everything and
so
they can have it.
So it's 5 days for economic reasons and 70% for economic reasons. Because I'm going to tell you something, Barry. Please let me finish.
Louise O'Reilly responded.
Nobody that I am aware of had looked for it to be halved and nobody looked for 70%. So what happened was, and you can look at companies who have already brought in this leave, and also the minister who holds the dual portfolio, Minister for Justice and Minister for Higher Education, with his higher education hat on, and he acknowledged it today in the Dáil, 10 days was what was given to people right across the third level education sector, and that was then cut to 5. Nobody in government has advanced a credible explanation to me as to why that was cut. I think it's very regrettable, and I think the words of the Unite Trade Union, I think, really sum it up, which is effectively, if the leave is not adequate, what it will do is it will force people back into a situation of abuse. Now, that's not what is wanted, and when we look at the facts that 240 people were turned away from Saoirse, over 400 from Sonas, there's an absolute gap in the resources there. Women need, it's not only women, but it is mostly women, need that continuity of income. And we talk about coercive control and financial control. Yeah. And if you're going home to an abusive partner and he's looking at your payslip, if it says 70%, there are safety issues that have been flagged by the National Women's Council. And I don't know why it was set at 70%.
What's there is a statutory minimum. And nobody is, no company, no employer, no person is prevented from going beyond that. The point is that is what's there. And the whole point of the strategy is to put in place exactly the supports. It will be expanded. All the other supports that are being put in place will be there for people.
We recognise the need for them.
But on that 70%, there was a danger issue there, because if you have somebody who's controlling your finances and they see a change in your finances. So that is, I think,
just a text in here, panel. It is admirable that you want to get the women's refuge sorted. However, something also has to be done on the length of time it takes for cases to get to court. And Barry Ward, you're a barrister by profession
today,
as well, aren't you? So what insight can you give?
Today we passed the courts bill, which implements the recommendations of the McManus report. So there will be more judges. And that's probably the biggest bottleneck in terms of getting cases through. If you go into the circuit court today and ask for a trial date, in case you're looking at the second half of 2025 as it stands, the government has implemented a huge change in terms of increasing the number of circuit judges, High Court judges, Court of Appeal judges and District Court judges to make sure that those cases move through the system.
There's
more
not even
quickly.
Need to be a culture change within the court system itself,
no
mind extra judges.
I don't think so. The reality is the resources haven't been there because there has been a statutory block on the number of judges you can have in each court. Minister
but in terms
Harris,
of those court proceedings and how they proceed and what happens
there aren't
when
enough,
the victim
well, if you
is
think
in
about
court.
It, if you have 4 judges, they can only deal with 4 cases at one time. If you have 10, they can deal with 10. And the important thing about that is that Minister McEntee and Minister Harris have committed to this. It's not just about more judges. It's about more courtrooms. It's about more court service staff, registrars who can be in the court to make sure that the cases actually take place. There's no lack of willingness to get these cases done, but there is a backlog and the victims are very often
Alice
the ones
Mary
who suffer
Higgins.
Most.
Well, I think there's also qualitative changes that are needed and they've been signalled. You know, the issues of, for example, where an abuser is able to cross-examine somebody, you know, that's something that has been signalled and there's been legislative proposals on that, you know. The questions of the use of experts, but the issues as well around some of the ways that, you know, expert witnesses may be weaponised in terms of, you know, that we've seen that. So there has been identified that there, especially in an overloaded system, so that's part of it is the overload, that there are practices that are not, you're having systems situations where people are experiencing new abuse and re-traumatisation.
I think we need to also look, and I don't dispute that more judges will do more work, but the person who is going through that process also needs those supports. So, and if you are someone who is in a domestic abuse situation, I would obviously say, you know, ring Women's Aid, ring the Rape Crisis Network, reach out, and I'm sure Barry will give those numbers again, but do reach out and get that help. But when you hear that women and families are being turned away from refuges, and when you hear from, say, the domestic abuse service in my own area, Evenness, I know the brilliant work that they do there. Emma Reid is just fantastic work. Her team are absolutely amazing. But they will tell you they're not meeting the need that is there. They need to be properly resourced. And you're talking about things like multi-annual funding so that they can plan. That's not done. Now, I mean, that's not at the fault of any one person in government, but it is something that does need to change so that we can put it on a more permanent footing. And we also need to look at the pay rates for people working in the area of domestic abuse, because they too are, again, you know, they're victims of the housing crisis. They can't afford to live near where they work, and they're losing staff.
Are there metrics for
staff.
The deficits, Louise? How many, you know, are they reaching out to 50% or more of those who are coming to them, or are they not being able? Is there any figures that kind of
tell us the problems? We have the figures from the individual refuges as to, but that's the number of people that contact them. What I'm saying is, if you are thinking of doing it and you know that there is under resource in there, anything that acts as a barrier, and I don't think anyone would disagree with this, anything that acts to a barrier for a victim to come forward needs to be effectively removed. And some of that is supports that are required, but some of that is also to be able to say that the local domestic abuse supports are going to to be there for you, and they will have the staff, and they will tell you if they had more staff, they could do more of the work.
And
we all love the work they do.
They're brilliant at advocacy work.
The free legal aid system is something that you would want to look at.
Yeah,
as
so
well,
I know I'd highlighted. I think that this is an area in terms of, of legal aid, in terms of court accompaniment, which is something a really important piece that again shelters. So you know, we have those domestic violence services and domestic abuse services who are really put to the pin in terms of providing basic services, but actually advocacy so that they can actually engage and help us make better policies because they are the experts, and also things like court accompaniment services, where because it can be an incredibly intimidating experience for somebody to come forward in courts, as well as the free legal aid, and so that we don't have a situation whereby, you know, you do have situations where you can be intimidated, especially if you don't have financial control within your relationship. You could be at a significant financial disadvantage. Mm-hmm. That said, I want to really echo what Louise said, which is if you are somebody who's experienced these issues, even though the system is changing too slowly, it is changing, and it is really important that you do reach out, and you know, we'll have to just keep pushing for the supports
Barry
to be there
Ward,
for you.
Yeah, how do you change that culture
to really
get people to reach out?
One of the important changes that happened now within Agóir Na Síochána is the protective services units. They are specialists in this area. They are in every Garda district in the country, and they take people seriously, because one of the problems that happened in the past was Gardaí weren't trained to understand the problem and how to deal with it, how to investigate it even. That has all changed now. So anybody who is listening who has experienced this kind of violence, they need to understand that the Gardaí are much better equipped now than they have ever been to understand it, to
deal with it. That's a message still to sell if people are still afraid to come forward, isn't
it? Exactly, exactly. And I know myself, because dealing with these in the courts, dealing with people who have been the victims, I know that they have the experience they've had with the Gardaí has changed dramatically.
And briefly, Harry McGee, we're expecting more figures tomorrow, aren't we, on this?
Yes, we are. And they will be as telling as the ones that were released 2 months ago, which were debated in the Dáil tomorrow. So I think this debate will continue. And I think it's a good thing that it continues as well.
I would agree. I think, and we need to see the resources follow the data. So the more data we have, we need to see that the resources will go there.
Well, don't forget, if you've been affected by what we've just discussed, you can check out, help is available and support on rte.ie/helplines. Back in a moment.